Gang, I've been talking about True Hemp Science Full Spectrum CBD Oils and how they've reduced my anxiety and helped me get better sleep for the last few months. I've also talked about the Full Spectrum CBD Balms that relieved my hand pain and made playing guitar and piano much easier. Well, today, gang, I'm going to tell you about True Hemp Science Organic Gummies made with Full Spectrum Hemp Oil. These delicious organic vegan gummies contain 50 milligrams of CBD and 1.5 milligrams of THC per serving. I had the black cherry flavor, and they are totally delicious. As I said, gang, I got great sleep. I felt totally relaxed. These things are absolutely fantastic. Get over to TrueHempScience.com and order yours today and start feeling more relaxed and sleeping better today. Now, gang, How Did I Get Here is partnered with True Hemp Science to bring you a very special gift. Use code HDIGH at checkout, and with your purchase of $65 or over, get 296 milligrams of the number 81 distillate oil, which is great for rest and relaxation and sleep. Well, I told you about this one from the very beginning. That's right, gang. Go to TrueHempScience.com/HDIGH. Order some of these gummies. Get it going. Also, if you live in Austin, you can find them at their brick and mortar store in Austin at the corner of South First and Mary, right by the Soup Peddler. That's TrueHempScience.com. Get in there. Get more relaxed. Feel better. Get better sleep with True Hemp Science. Let's get down.
You may ask yourself, well, how did I get here?
It's time for How Did I Get Here? And now here is your host.
Hello, I'm Johnny. I'm your host. Welcome to the show. I hope you guys have all had a good week, whatever it is you did this week. I have had a pretty good week. I'm in Houston, hanging out, helping, taking care of my grandma with my Aunt Olga. It's been good. We've been spending a lot of time together, you know, all day. That's the gig. You know, you come here and you just kind of hang out all day. I'm doing this podcast before my grandma wakes up in the morning outside in the yard because there's a plane going over. There's birds singing. There's squirrels teasing my dog, Rosie. Anyway, I'm here in this place that I grew up, which I've talked about a lot for the last couple of months because I've been here a lot for the last couple of months. As I said, I'm here this week, me and Rosie hanging out, helping out. I even do my podcast here, not just the intros. I've done quite a few. I actually did G-Love from G-Love and Special Sauce on Tuesday. Yeah, we had a great conversation. You'll hear that in a few weeks. What a great dude. He's got a fantastic record out that you can hear now called Philadelphia, Mississippi. Get out there and check it out. I'm not going to get too much into this, but let me tell you something. That guy is so cool. We had such a great, real, honest conversation and connected so seamlessly. It was fantastic. I can't wait for you guys to hear it. Anyway, so yeah, I've been here. I've been helping take care of my grandma, and she's doing all right, although she does have her days. You know, she's 99 years old. Her memory, since she got sick a couple of months ago, has been slipping. So it's frustrating for her. Also, you know, for 90, you know, let's see, she's been totally autonomous. You know, when she wants to do something, she's always been able to go do something. All right. She got into her early 90s, maybe sort of like 5-6 years ago. She couldn't drive anymore. And that was a rough one because then she had to start bumming rides because whenever she wanted to go do something, she just went and did it. And she was on the go all day. She was a person that always was energetic and zipping around all while I was growing up. Whenever you came and stayed here with my grandma, you did shit all day. You went running around and she moved at a fast pace. She talked fast. She thought fast. She had quick comebacks. She had spontaneous ideas. You know what I'm saying? And so for many, many years, she had that. Now, just a couple of months ago, that all has kind of like gone by the wayside because, you know, at some points in the day, she can't remember kind of 1 minute to the other. Like last night, we were watching Death on the Nile, and she probably asked me, like, without exaggeration, 40 times throughout the movie what movie we were watching. Without exaggeration, it might have been more than that. I felt like it was like every 5 minutes there was a, you know, what movie is this? And then a couple minutes would go by. What movie is this? And so it's difficult for her. So Tuesday night, she did go to a dark place mentally. She was very depressed. She openly admitted she was depressed like late Thursday afternoon. You know, we're like, hey, I'm going to be making some dinner. You ready to eat this? Oh, I don't want to eat. I don't, don't want to live anymore. Why is this? I can't do anything. Can't do what I want. I just sit in a chair. And it's rough, you know? I mean, at this point, when she wants to go to the bathroom, somebody has to take her there. So she has to be like, you know, in second grade feeling. Hey, can I go to the bathroom? Hey, can I go to the bathroom? You know what I mean? That's a tough place to be. So she did go to a dark place. But otherwise, she's been keeping her spirits up. I've been trying to keep her spirits up. My Aunt Olga does the same thing all day long. You know, we just hang out, cater to her, talk to her. I've watched a lot of this show called Caso Cerrado, which is no longer being aired on television, but you can find it on Peacock. There's a channel that shows it 24 hours a day. And if you speak Spanish in like insane court TV shows, which I've never seen anything like this in my life. Let me just say, there was a man that owned a pet store that his wife thought he was having an affair. And he kind of was, but he was also having an affair with like a python. And he was having sex with a python. This is this show, Caso Cerrado. If you speak Spanish, seek it out. It's so insane, it's worth watching. Anyway, so yeah, so I'm here in Houston. I'm here with my grandma. Thanks for listening. She's doing all right. We'll see what happens, right? That's what happens. You know, you're 99 years old. You're definitely coming to the end of something. And she's hanging on. She's still there. She's eating. She's drinking. She's demanding wine at night. Ah, I love her, though, you know? I love her. And I'm not complaining. I'm just saying, like, this has been an intense position to be in for 2 months straight. And I don't know how long this goes on. I don't know how long I come and spend, like, half of the month here hanging out. Or more than half of the month, which I did in May. We'll see. We'll see. Okay? I hope if anyone's out there dealing with it, my heart's with you. I'm understanding what this is all about. People getting old, falling apart. It happens to all of us. Happens to all of us. That's the fucked up thing. It's coming for all of us, dude. None of us are going to escape it. So anyway, I hope hang on to your loved ones. That's what I'm trying to say. Tell them you love them. I love being here with my grandma. I love being here with my aunt. I love being able to eat with them, wake up and talk to them. It's a beautiful thing. I'm very lucky to have this family and very lucky to have had my grandma in my life this whole time. All right. Gang, I have a great show for you today. My old friends, Kalu James and JT Holt from the band Kalu and the Electric Joint are my guests on the show today. They have a brand new single that came out on Tuesday. It's called Garden of Eden with a fantastic video directed by the amazing Barbara FG, the award-winning Barbara FG, who I've been trying to get on the show for a while. Love Barbara FG, and I love the video for Garden of Eden, and I love Garden of Eden. Now, Kalu and the Electric Joint have taken an electronic sort of turn over the last couple of years. The singles that they've been dropping, Shadows, Mirror, Downfall, and now Garden of Eden, are all a lot more electronic than anything we've ever heard from one of the most organic bands that I know, you know what I mean? Kalu and the Electric Joint. But it's so interesting the way that they've embraced this and injected their own organic stuff in with like working in tandem with the machines. It's gorgeous. These records are gorgeous. Now, when I first saw Kalu play, it was at the Continental Club Gallery in Austin, which is traditionally, like, you make very organic music in that room. That's what I'm trying to say. You make, there's no electronic, there's no people using tracks up there. It's just all like, so to see Kalu and JT take their music and marry it with this electronic sensibility that was brought to them by this producer guy named Jason Burt up in Dallas. It's gorgeous. It's fantastic. And they've changed their live thing. Kalu's put down the guitar a lot. He's expressing himself like physically while he's singing. If you want to see them, they'll be playing July 8th at the Continental Club in Houston. If you live in Houston, this is going to be a great show. I think Sir Woman is on the show as well. And then July 22nd at the O4 Center in Austin, they'll be playing acoustically with the great Ray Prim. You might have heard Garden of Eden as KUT's Song of the Day on Wednesday. I've known JT, as I said, and Kalu for a while. They went through the Austin Music Foundation Artist Development Program a few years ago. So I got to work very closely with them and kind of get involved with how they ran their business and did their thing. I was not able to be there for the creative part, but I get a sense of what's going on. These guys are seeking more, you know? And there's a thing about Kalu and the music that he makes, no matter what he does. He's a soul music person, but it's different than the style of music being soul. You know what I'm saying? in his sense, soul isn't a style of music. It's just this guy with this beautiful soul, with this beautiful light that comes out of him. And he has found a way to let that out through his music. There's always something I get from being around Kalu, both in the audience, watching him play, and also being in his presence and talking to him. J.D. Holt is a fantastic, fantastic musician, and what a soulful cat as well. He's also found a way to find his beautiful light and let it shine through in the music, also supporting Kalu. Unbelievable. Great conversation with these two guys. Always great catching up with them. Please enjoy my conversation with J.T. Holt and Kalu James from Kalu and the Electric Joint. Let's get down. So what song did you sing at Blues on the Green?
I sang James Brown, Payback.
Oh, nice.
Down by the River, the Buddy Miles version.
Yeah, yeah.
And No Agreement by Fela Kuti.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
We've had that talk about him.
I mean, I just never get to sing those songs. So
no.
It's just, it's like singing it from the standpoint of a fan.
Yeah, you know? Yeah.
It was so much fun.
Singing with that band must be really amazing.
Oh, wow.
Prince wanted to do it. That's how amazing
that
is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is John Spies is playing with you guys still? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
I just watched a video on Instagram, Garden of Eden, of you guys like practicing it live. Who's the new keyboard player?
Pearl.
She's been with you guys for a while?
Yeah, for 2 years.
Okay. Now. I haven't seen you guys in a while.
Yeah.
Yeah, she has a... Pearl's incredible. She's got her own band, Pearl Z.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So, man, you guys, there's been a shift in sound, going from like totally organic to like sort of semi-organic.
Yeah,
right?
there's a synthesis of synthetic sounds
and
analog sounds that's on this new record that is, you know, new for us. It's new territory. It's been great. It's like triggers, not loops. So a lot of the performances, we have triggers that will trigger the sounds, but we're not playing to loops.
Okay.
So we do recreate what we've recorded live.
Right. Because I was going to say, even like the drum sounds and stuff, like you might not want to lose some of that.
Yeah, we don't.
So John's playing some electronic things.
Well, Spies is not band at current, but we do have Johnny Rattleat playing with us and Greg Clifford.
Yeah.
They're both using pads.
And acoustic drums.
And acoustic drums.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
How did you guys come across, like, when did this happen? Like, during 2020, was this right before 2020 you guys started working with Jason Burt?
It's like 2019, Jason's been a longtime friend, years ago, over a decade ago, he would come down from Dallas at work at a studio that I had in Dripping Springs, through the years he developed his style as a producer that kind of spanned into modern R&B and even like house and dance music. So he was implementing Ableton when we crossed paths again in 2019 as the Electric Joint. Now we have released our first record. We'd done some touring, done Bonnaroo, and we were kind of in a place where we were needing to replace drums. We got a call from Jason that requested our presence at a show, pop-up show he was doing on a Monday night. We'd just had a tour and no one could do it in the band. And so Kalu and I went to Dallas and we did the Monday show. And then we ended up in Modern Electric on Tuesday which is a studio in Dallas that Jason works at. Mm-hmm. And we cut a song that day. And I guess...
that's downfall, right?
Yeah. Amber from Sir Woman was on drums that day.
Okay.
And Leon was in the studio that day. Jason works a lot with him.
Uh-huh.
And so Downfall kind of started the new record.
Okay.
And what was going to happen over the course of the next 8 recorded songs with Jason. That, since Kalu and I were the only ones present, we were super open to any ideas, which coincidentally was how the first record was made, too. We got put into a place where it was just Kalu and I, and we were like, fuck, it's time to make a record. And we have this kind of like thing going on with our band. Is, you know, it's pretty typical of people at our level. You know, drummers are busy.
Yeah.
When the gigs are good. So, you know, it was like a breath of fresh air.
Absolutely.
To breathe into some of the synthesis and to feel it. And right before this, we had done Bonnaroo, and I had this like experience, like we had a really good show and Bonnaroo was great, Sea of People, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And then I slipped out after that. And I took these mushrooms and went to the EDM show.
Uh-huh.
And that was a whole nother level of like insanity.
Yeah.
And so
it's like, what about it? Like in the different sort of thing, like just explain to me and the people listening and just scoot up just a little bit more.
It was like, you know, basically the subs and the translation of what's happening and, the mid lows and low frequencies at a show like that, like you can be 300 yards away and your eyeballs are rattling, you know? And people are experiencing this viscerally and having a different experience than they do it just like, you know, a rock show.
Right.
The Sonics just provide a different sea of vibe to be swimming in as a listener. So in that moment, I immediately came back and was like, we need a keyboard player to start bringing some of that shit into our music. You know, that's when Pearl came into the picture. And so through Downfall, through the addition of Pearl and through the, synthetic journey that we were beginning, like we kind of went into this new group of songs with a really like open mind and like, let's just spread this palette out as much as possible. Let's, you know, like let's take away some of the guitar soloing and like really focus on like the meat and potatoes of what Kalu's all about and put the voice up front so we can hear what he's saying and like hear this message. Cause it's so positive and it's so, you know, it's just pretty unusual to run across, a lyricist whose focal points aren't particularly on themselves. They apply to other people and they make other people feel the love that Kalu is, which is a, you know,
that's a difficult thing. Like I'm not capable of that. I'm always bitching about something with myself. You know what I mean? But there is that. There's sort of like that self-analyzation that by the end of one's career, you've gone through whatever they've gone through their whole life. And then there's other people that can bring other shit into their lyrics outside of themselves.
Yeah.
Which is a hard, it's a hard thing to do. I mean, it's a hard thing for me to do.
Well, just in general, like, knowing Kalu as a human being, like that's just...
We're just going to talk about you like you're not here.
That's just who he is. You know, like, I don't care if you're at the grocery store or whatever, like, he has the same effect there as...
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe even stronger.
Sure.
Because it's one-on-one.
Yeah.
But, like, there's a humanity that's just inherent to his writing, you know? So it's, like, pushing that out front and... You know, still staying psychedelic and definitely wanting to keep pushing that envelope, you know, that is not diminishing at all.
Right.
But at all.
In terms of like trying to dress it up musically, it was more about stripping it back, like subtractive mix formulas and things that really allow like this the message to come through and the vocal capabilities to shine, because it, you know, that's what we're dealing with here.
Yeah, yeah. It's you know, you guys really pulled it off though, like, because it's interesting to go from what you're like. Your endeavors so far have even taken you into the world of like the jam world. It's so organic and so like in the moment that to bring in this new element, it as a listener, it is a huge, not just sonic, but like a feeling, a breath of fresh air, you know?
Oh, thank you, man.
Yeah. I mean, it really is. And it is very uplifting. And I feel like in some of the ways, going into that EDM show, like, did you guys both pick up on the fact of the uplifting? Not that your music wasn't uplifting before, but now it seems like consciously uplifting. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I mean, the sound of the just the sound itself is,
yeah,
is so primal.
Yeah.
You know, that just walking into that and being like, oh, those are people too. You,
yeah,
know, it's everywhere. It's the shift. And you were saying you don't bitch all, it's not, it's, I do bitch. I definitely,
no, but
do.
You know what I mean?
I do bitch, but it's watch out kind of thing. It's like, hey, you know, we tend to get in our own ways in so many ways. And, I was very raised to be in a situation and take in what's happening.
Right.
That's survival.
Yeah.
So, writing from that place seems more natural to me.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and even like the fella and all of that,
yeah,
stuff they're talking,
yeah,
about their,
it's
surroundings,
very, it's
and
militant,
what's going on.
It's punk, it's everything.
How did during the lockdown, what did you guys do? Like, you're probably had some good South by Southwest stuff lined up in 2020, and then that got canceled.
Yeah,
and then,
this record was going to be released like right after South by.
Yeah, it kind of was.
Oh, no shit.
So this, it brought us, it, when you say what did we do during the pandemic, we remixed the record.
Okay. Subtractively.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. And like, were you guys doing live streams? I don't remember. Did you do one of those ones on TV?
Yeah, I believe we did a night for Austin, which was like Paul Simon, Eddie Raquel.
Right.
We did that.
Did you get to meet them?
No, it was
right. Virtue.
Yeah, I mean, just the fact that Paul Simon like has read my name in a roll of names.
How like, cool is that?
Yeah, exactly.
Was he like when Graceland came out? Was that like a record like over in Africa? Were people like into that? Like in Nigeria?
I mean, when you hear it, you're like, yes, that's our music.
Yeah, yeah.
For me to be here and be able to follow along with the lyrics is like, yes, that makes perfect sense.
Right.
You know. Yeah.
It's, but no one there thought it was like jive.
I mean, you come to Africa immediately, someone hands you an African garb.
Yeah, yeah.
Doesn't matter where
that's
you're
good.
From.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's, yeah, like that's welcome home.
Yeah.
You're back home. So it's the actual export of that is so like nature, you, yeah, know?
Yeah. You have family there?
Yeah.
How did they fare through the pandemic? Was that?
That was rough.
Yeah.
It was very rough. I mean, you think about the United States and you have, you know, Uncle Sam and there's moratoriums for your rent and your, you know, your cell phone, your bills.
Yeah.
Where I come from, you don't have that.
No.
And you don't also have the government helping out during those times.
Right.
And you're told to stay home. So there are many moments in that, given my position into the family, that I was thankful that I was here.
Yeah.
Because I had, you get kickbacks.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And you know, things are picking up here. That's not happening.
Yeah.
In the rest of the world, if you look pretty closely, you know?
Yeah. It's pretty scary.
Yeah.
All the songs were written before the lockdown?
They were.
Okay.
They were.
But it was still like, it almost sounds like it was written during then, some
exactly,
of it. You know what I mean?
Exactly. That's what happens. These things begin to change. The more you spend time in anything, it begins to reveal itself even more. There were so many humble moments, JT and I, in the studio while he's remixing the song, being like, whoa.
Yeah, it's true.
Very humbling moments. Like, I had moments where I personally fucking shit. Because I don't, you know, I feel like channels open, and if you're there to capture it, you capture it.
Yeah.
It moves on to someone else type thing. And in spending moments in these songs and these, you know, the words, are we missing something? Or do we have everything we need? Am I the villain, or is this the Garden of Eden?
Yeah.
All that just means, like, I have chills. It's yeah, like, well, yeah. That's just super humbling.
Yeah. Yeah. Have you guys continued writing? Like, wait a minute. So these singles are coming out. These, like, Garden of Eden. When does the record come out?
It's unannounced.
Okay.
Like, we don't really have a...
You're not keeping anything from me.
You know, okay, here's the thing. Who listens to records?
I don't know.
I do. I love the side of a record. I really like reference records in my mind as ways to I have a library of music in my mind. I think all musicians do. And mine is filed in a lot of times records. You know, like it's a producer. It's a whole situation in one record, a sound, a vibe.
Yeah.
Blah, blah, blah. And so, like, now it's singles. It's really hard to determine what the value behind, like, aside from it being important to us as, like, this is a group of songs we wrote at the same time.
Right.
And it
right.
symbolizes this period of our life. Like, right. that's important. But as a listener, I think, you know, it's really hard to justify dropping a record when, you know, all things must fire at once for a record to successfully happen. And so with our first record, we had a lot of things fire at once mm-hmm. and some things kind of miss the mark. And you don't know it until you're on the pavement in St. Louis wondering what the fuck you're doing in St. Louis.
You know? Yeah, exactly.
You're like, wait a second. This didn't all fire at once, and it all has this effect, and you feel it like 8 months later while you're on the road, and you feel it in your pocket, and you feel it with your booking agent, and you feel everyone in your camp feels it. So, like, to release a record takes major firepower and a lot of, like, positioning of things mm-hmm. to make the entire record move forward at once.
Yeah.
And, you know, to have this group of songs, to have had the pandemic happen, it seems like a more viable choice to release singles and keep exposing our audience to new music on a regular or a semi-regular basis, as opposed to just dropping the record. Here's one thing. Here's the dandelion effect. You know, two things didn't fire. So, you know, it's actually just going to – you'll forget about it in two weeks.
Yeah.
You know, like it happens to me. I am speaking from personal experience.
Yeah.
And sometimes people will say, well, you listen to this, I listen to it, and then it's gone.
Yeah.
Like, it's just a dandelion, you know?
That's exactly, yeah.
You know?
That's a weird thing. Like, you don't have that album you listen to every day for a couple months at least after it comes out. Like, you do, I do that too. I listen to a record and let it go.
Yeah. But you have songs.
Yeah.
Personally, I've been really inspired watching Kelsey from Sir Woman release her singles and knowing that the record is bomb and that she's writing, like, top quality, super great songs.
They're so great.
Ready for the world. I mean, the world might be behind on that, you know?
Like, yeah.
I hope they catch up. But, like, I personally look forward to listening to that record as a whole.
Yeah,
you
me too.
Know? And I like the way that tasted. It was like a well-served meal. So as a choice, I did admire and respect her her choice on how to reveal her songs, you know?
Yeah.
And it seems like a good thing if, you know, we don't have a giant record company behind the release, then, like, we can afford to put out songs in a way that will reach the people.
Yeah.
But it's almost impossible or a losing scenario to do that ourselves on a whole record.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. I understand, man. It's just it's odd how quickly and how quickly things are changing and how differently we have to approach sort of everything all the time. I noticed one thing that you guys are doing, that you guys were in the artist development program at Austin Music Foundation, and there was one thing that Einar and I have always sort of tried to bring to the people there, and you guys have been touring for a while, but even just like your regional touring and keeping that up, like how are things going? And like you did a show with Sir Woman in Houston and at Continental Club, and you've got another one coming up there, so you're hitting all the places over and over again, Dallas as well.
Yep.
How is that going for you guys? Like, is that proving to be, you get more people every time you go?
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah, I mean, it's been really good. And it seems like a little bit more, pertinent to maintain the cities that are within reach of us.
Yeah,
absolutely. Regionally. And,
yeah.
You know, it was a hard thing. Like, when I was speaking of the misfiring of things in our first release, the end result is, you know, we would be playing like Exidy in Nashville, but on a Tuesday. So like you have this like pretty big room and then you have like 60 people show up.
Right.
And so like, meanwhile, that's killing your Polestar numbers.
Right.
And then you come home and then people are in Dallas and Houston are referencing Tuesday night and Exit In to determine what your guarantee is.
Right.
And so like, you don't feel that until the mistake is made.
Right.
So now we'll work from the inside out, and, you know, continue to release our singles.
That's,
and, you know, really the fans that we have and the shows that we do here in town, we're going to put more energy into making them super badass lights and tripped out shit and, like, you know, solid sound, front of house sound for the people and for sound on stage. With all the new stuff we're running, it's
imperative.
We have 10 or 12 DIs now in the past.
Shit.
We had one, you know.
So like, for your acoustic, right?
And that's been the change also with these songs, is like I went from, you know, playing guitar in the band to not playing guitar in the band. So the freedom of writing the songs tapped into the freedom of, okay, hold on, I do need, for me, it's my mic stand. You know, like I'm fucking watching religiously James Brown. That's why I get into James Brown. You know, Blues on the Green was like, although I didn't have the boom mic, you know, I'm like, oh, should have brought mine. Just put it back on my shoulder and just walk in with it. It does open that up too, where, you know, reaction, if not to my guitar before, is now to, you know, the 808 kicks. It's now to JT and the Weisenborn playing Garden of Eden. Like, I just, my movement.
So you're even subtracting live.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Genius. Sorry. Did that freak you out to put it down and just stand up?
Yeah. I mean, it's
weird, right?
It's a new everything.
Yeah.
The songs and being a singer first and foremost was just so liberating in so many ways.
Also, now you don't have to bring anything.
This is a machine where I'm the first one off, you know.
That's good.
But you have to. It's all part of it's a family. It's one big fucking family.
Yeah. So you guys, you're obviously involved. Like, you understand Polestar and how it works and what happens when you play a Tuesday at Exit Inn in Nashville and 60 people come to a bigger room. Are you guys have management still? I know you did for a year. Are you still with a manager or? Because it sounds like you're very involved with everything.
We are very, very involved with everything. Very involved with every single movement.
Right.
Management is great.
Yeah.
For right now, it's us. Rick Perrick is helping from 9 Mile Record right now. And thinking of like the regional plan and, you know, just like thinking about having ideas be implemented. You know, he's on it.
But I like that guy a lot, man. I had him on the show.
Yeah, he's cool.
We are involved in everything.
And are they doing the booking as well?
Or, some. Yes.
Yeah. Do you guys have another booking agent or do you do it yourselves?
We do it ourselves sometimes too.
How do you like that? Because I hate that. That's my least favorite.
God, no, I fucking love it.
You do?
No.
Oh, good. I was going to say, wow.
No.
I was going to start calling all my friends, hey, JT loves it. No, nobody loves it, right? Not even professional ones. It's just constantly begging.
Favors.
Yeah, favors. Have you guys been able to get on any playlists or anything like that? Like, that's, like...
Yeah, I mean, most of our... From that first record, with the push of Time Undone and all that, it got into, right. You know... I mean... A lot of people have. That's really
it's like
where
Afropop and Billboard.
Yeah,
but did I think Brett Orison was able to push our first release in a lot of different directions through Shorefire,
uh-huh.
the media company.
Yeah,
and with this one, we're also the upcoming release for Garden of Eden will also be. Through those kind of avenues as well, alongside Rick and
yeah.
other things that we're trying to set in place for the
shout out Spaceflight Records,
yeah.
Brett Orison and Samara. They're
yeah.
you know,
yeah, they're great. Yeah. I've had them on here too. I was getting into like I guess like 6 months ago, just got really into that sort of culture of these indie labels that you know with 9 Mile Records and Spaceflight, and there's other ones that everyone's just doing. It's they're really trying. And it's yeah. only because they fucking love music because no one's making $1 billion anywhere.
Yeah.
And so it's almost like the coolest thing I've seen happen as like a scene and a movement, along, especially Spaceflight that has like this, you know, gigantic roster of people. And they've managed to give everybody the attention that they have. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's pretty amazing.
It is amazing.
Because they care. Yeah.
Because they care.
Yeah.
And that's like the thing is like... There's no reason for them to do it except for that they care and want this music to be heard by other people. And to me, that's like...
A lot of things change when you do that, when you work with people that do things because they care. You want to work with people who are...
It creates same, value.
Yeah, exactly. 100%.
They what?
It creates value.
Yes, it does create value.
In fact, it's at some point, it creates a, you know, hopefully for Brett, and Samara, like I hope that it creates a digital number associated with them getting more money.
Sure.
You know, I mean, they raise their value by giving a fuck.
Yeah.
Which is really cool.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, that's funny that you say that, that does raise the value because I remember at one point in my career, like getting rid of a manager because of some things that weren't good, but the only reason we were in the position to get rid of him was because he put us there.
Right.
Right.
And it was because he cared. And I remember my lawyer saying, like, before you make this decision, weigh out the fact that you might get the biggest fucking manager in the world who's never going to love you like that guy did. You yeah. know what I mean?
Real yeah. talk.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Then that caring really does. It's almost invaluable, like beyond value.
But well, when you place it on things, it changes everything. Like, you know, caring about what you do with the planet, caring about how you treat each other, all that. And when you do things out of a place of love and caring, that changes things.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
That propels things because people walk into a safe environment where they see themselves as well. It's like, I this is a world working together of people who care.
Yeah.
Even if I don't understand, care.
Was that instilled in you as a kid, like that thought process, or did you adopt it as you got older?
That was instilled. My father's title is Nchaun Chebonha, which means the umbrella that protects the people. I am the first son of the umbrella that protects the people. Like him doing his job, is in me understanding what that means. I really have seen it from a very young age of people different. Backgrounds, different problems, you know, showing up, just shoot your shot.
Yeah.
And he's a person who listened to people who shot their shot.
Yeah.
And it really, to do that, in my opinion, in a way where it empowers someone is giving a fuck.
Yeah. Totally. What about you, JT? Were you raised like in the, like, What was your scene growing up? Were your parents like, hey, you got
to... No, I was a wild kid. I BMX'd and skateboarded my way through my teens, you know?
Yeah.
Always in trouble.
For what? For what? Just like
it's everything a kid can get in trouble for. You know?
These are all the things I wanted to do that I couldn't do.
As the kid who is like, you know,
trying to be the umbrella to the people.
Trying to you know, just exist.
Yeah. When did you straighten your shit out? Like how did that happen? When you found music, or did
you know what? It's pretty odd looking back on it. It's like I was in so much trouble and doing, you know, all kinds of drugs and things when I was pretty young. By the time I was 21, I decided I was like, I'm going to play music, you know? And at 21, I wasn't making very much money, if any, playing music.
Right.
But that's what I was going to do. So my budget and my situation, it stopped me from continuing
the drugs.
Drugs. Yeah. And like, I kind of didn't care. I always was able to smoke pot, but it's beyond that, even alcohol, like, took a backseat to me wanting to play music, you know? Like,
right, right.
And so, like, there was kind of a shift. And I was kind of like, I don't know, 28 or 29 when I started my first recording studio. Mm-hmm. And so I, you know, I had a penchant for wanting to, like, achieve things like that, and I'd set my mind to it and it would happen. But, you know, the spirit of the kid that used to rip hood ornaments off cars and wear them as necklaces is still there, you know? And like, it's like, I don't,
it's just channeled in a more positive way.
It's like, there's still some reckless, you know? But I had some different visions. Once I started the studio, I wasn't...
Where was that studio?
It was on Rhineley Street.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
Across from Affordable Sound.
Yeah, like where Mike McCarthy had his studio next to it.
Yeah, he used to borrow my organ. Him and Jim Valentin would carry my organ across the parking lot. And then, you know, that was a real, like... blood, sweat, and tears situation. It's really cool to learn recording in that environment, because it was so bad. There was a hydraulic press next door with the auto mechanic, this couple that they were meth addicts. And so, like, to get them to shut up, like Warren Hood's in there cutting all this, like, super brilliant, perfect fucking violin parts. And I would send this dude that was working there over to the car place with a six pack of beer and beg for them to give us 15 minutes.
Yeah.
And then, so, like, he'd give him the beer and we'd have silence for like 15 minutes. And I would have to have this Jedi mindset, like nothing was happening, and being like, oh yeah, dude, it's all good. Your take sounds good. Let's do it one more time. And like that, and so, like, he cuts it, and like, I never really had an actual issue where that fucked up a recording.
Yeah, yeah.
But like, the spirit of doing that and all of its, you know, hardships made it so much sweeter when I moved.
Yeah.
You know, I was like, wow, it's silent out here, you know, like, moved out kind of near the Salt Lick, which I still at that place, but,
that's awesome.
Yeah, and it's like the silence that I got given after all those years. I guess it was like 6 or 7 years. Yeah, man.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that was really cool.
Yeah. My cousin Emily and I were drunk 2 nights ago in Houston and called Mike, but he didn't answer. I miss that guy.
Yeah, he was an original son of a bitch.
Yeah, dude. Yeah, I made a record with him. And I just, like, I came away with so many Mike-isms. In fact, I ran into Britt Daniel, like, a year ago at a place, and we started talking, and we both just, like, were exchanging, like, just weird Mike stories. Like, we were around when he was into painting his nails? Like, Eat Right for His Blood Type, which, by the way, tons of bands. It was me that gave him the Eat Right for Your Blood Type book, which just ruined every session at dinner times. So, like, man, I gotta eat sushi, because that's gonna be the thing that really kind of gives me the energy I need. Sorry. Do you ever know Mike?
No, I don't.
Such an odd cat, man. A great dude, but just weird as shit and hilarious. So who all have you recorded and produced and stuff? like a list of outside guys we might know?
It's been a long time. So I guess I can go from here's some of the recent ones I'm doing.
Okay.
I've worked with Jason a lot, Jason Burt.
Okay.
He's been releasing electrofunk songs that have been mixed at my place. Some things have been recorded there. The Paul Coffin record came through my place. The newest one, Country Coming
Down. Yeah, I just heard a couple songs from that. It's really good.
I have The Deer on deck. I'm
fantastic.
Working with them right now.
We got some badass bands, man.
Man.
Artists.
I've had a really... My heart has taken me in a way that, like, I really support things I believe in.
Yeah.
And the... Like, I don't run my room as a day rate, fill up my calendar situation.
Right.
I run it as a, like, wow, I overwork for people, so who can I give a fuck to? Who can I give that to?
That's awesome.
And who's going to give a fuck as much as I give a fuck?
Yeah,
and it's kind of precipitated a flow of work and a vibe that seems to resonate through the product, you know?
Right.
And I much prefer it, you know? I can give extra attention because I do, just inherently. I overwork for people.
Sure.
So, like, it took me over a decade to understand what was going on with me.
Yeah.
Because it's a me thing.
Yeah.
I can't not give a fuck. If something's in front of me, it's going to be, I don't know how familiar you are with, like, digital editing.
Yeah.
But, like,
I am. I hate it.
There will not be a fade missing.
Okay.
There will not be a click or a pop. I overcare. I inspect and go through this music more than the artists, you know, by a long shot. You know, I've heard a current song more. I know more than the artist, you know, and
right,
I just like internalize it and really understand it. I do analog mixing. So, you know, the music is stored in Pro Tools and being sent to my console from Pro Tools, but I'm mixing through outboard equipment and I'm doing a live mix. So nothing's automated. So, you know, it's a different vibe, but through doing the house music, through changing our scene with the exploration of synthesized music and acoustic music, it's kind of been mind-blowing. And this, like, the analog mix gives a certain life to the mix that's like, it. You know what, man? Sure, we can get everybody's notes, and I can go back through, and I can correct every goddamn little thing, and it's like, it's so fucking perfect. Great. Boring. Where's the life to this, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
Like, sometimes just pushing the lead vocal out of the background vocals for some parts, and then pushing the background vocals up so you can really intelligibly hear what's going on there. I mean, it's like on the fly and live and being in the song and really like, wow, I'm in the fucking moment. I don't want to see my phone. I can't be interrupted. Like, I value that kind of like
connection.
Like, it's a focus thing.
Yeah.
And in today's society, man, I mean, the phone to me is the devil, but like, it's like, you can think about something and 2 seconds later, you're going to be thinking about some other shit on TikTok or whatever. And so like these mixes and the connection to the music like that, I really like, I feel like I'm like, should continue to pursue that, you know, and really like get like the way I'm connected to my console, that also took over 10 years. You know, I got that board in 2009 and it was no easy task to get the board, to pay for it. All of it was kind of a nightmare, but like it's an epic sounding console. So to like really like in the pandemic especially, I had a lot of freedom to think outside of the way I'd been doing things for a while.
Do you learn how to work on it yourself and stuff?
Oh yeah,
that's great.
Yeah, definitely. I've had to.
Yeah.
It doesn't have that many problems, so I don't have to fuck with it too much, but every board heats up and cools down if you turn it on and off, so like you gotta know some basic shit. And the way the board is put together, it's all modular, so it's easy for me to take out one channel.
What kind of board is it?
It's a Wonder Audio.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah. It was actually the first board they ever built.
Wow.
There was a Stephen Jenkins from Third Eye Blind.
Yeah.
And me had our boards built at the same time. So one's number one and one's number two, but it's not really disclosed which one was which. But they were on the bench at the same time. And that was 2009. So, you know, it now that I'm connected to it and, like, it just, like, it's a flow.
Yeah,
you
know? Awesome.
Yeah, it's cool.
I hung out with that Stephen Jenkins guy one night.
Oh, yeah.
It was awful. Legitimately just awful. I could say it might have been the drugs that were making him awful, but I was venture to bet he's probably at least halfway like that.
Yeah.
He's pretty awful, at least. Kalu, you ever do any producing? Does anyone ever come to you? Or do you, like in this role, like, obviously you guys have a different, like, one guy covers one thing, and that's amazing. Like, in me and Einar's working relationship, we both have these places where we fit right in.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And we do each do our thing and kind of cross over a little bit back and forth, because I'm sure you have some notes every once in a while mix-wise. But do you do any producing or anything like that?
Man, all through the pandemic, I got a rig myself at home.
Awesome.
Instead of, like, you know, writing songs, and, you know, that itself opened up. Because most of the songs that we do with JT and I is very much, it's not like, oh, here's this, you know, here's this chord or here's this movement. It's a constant, like, back and forth of, like, oh, that serves a song type deal.
Right.
And through the pandemic, I even told them, I just learned so much.
Yeah.
Of, like, just working close with JT for the past, like, 10, 12 years. 14 years we've written music together.
Wow.
So that itself, you know, I was able to get out songs there. I was like, oh, yeah, I definitely, let's do this with other people.
Oh, is it like a team or just you?
It's been like through the pandemic was just me.
Right.
But JT and I is definitely a teamwork in so many ways.
Right.
We've just been talking a lot about, like, me bringing artists into the studio as well.
Yeah.
Because I enjoy doing that.
Yeah. And it is like a hands-on. You either kind of have a proclivity for recording or you don't. I don't really think it's something you necessarily have to go to school for. You just need to have a thing and record. And
for me, the biggest thing has been to have ideas that I can present.
Right.
Because it would still come back. There is no way, you know, I'm not,
right.
You know, an engineer by any means. I want to be able to record ideas and be like, hey, JT, what do you think about this?
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, move that somewhere else as well.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Do you do a lot of co-writing or any co-writing with people?
Man, all through the pandemic, I did do a bunch of co-writes. Just finished David Ramirez with
Awesome.
For the Song Confessionals.
Oh, awesome.
Dark Star, that was a great recording. That happened over at Public Hi-Fi. That was actually right before the pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
I just finished one with Jackie Venson.
Oh, awesome.
I'm really excited about
co-writers.
Got one coming up with Daniel Fierce, hopefully.
Yeah.
I like him a lot, man. I met him at a thing one night. I tried to get him on the show, but it kind of fell away.
He's great.
Yeah, he is really
great. I got to see him perform twice in the last, like, 5 weeks, I think, and I think he's fucking stellar.
He is.
So
he
is really Lydia.
Lydia's amazing. Yeah. And her solo stuff is great, too.
I'm working with her right
now.
Oh,
you are?
Yeah.
Oh, awesome. Awesome.
She's, like, super gifted. It just, like, a bleeding talent.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. All those women in Leyline, I find to be exceptionally talented.
That's a great way to put it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exceptionally. So what else? What else? You guys are releasing these singles. You've got some shows coming up. You're doing the O4 Center I saw with Ray Prim. You guys are doing that acoustically, though?
Yeah.
What you do it acoustically? Just the two of you guys? Or?
Yeah.
And Pearl.
I maybe add Pearl to it.
Okay.
And that's the beauty of what, even all the way up to all the synthetic, like when he was talking about the mixture, you know, synth analog, is that it all comes back down to being able to play it as an acoustic set.
Of course, yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Still the song
itself.
Yeah.
It's still
yeah.
the song. Yeah. That's the most important thing for me. That's the most important thing for JT. And is it comes back down to the song.
That's great. That's awesome. Ray Perman's turned into a good engineer, man.
Oh, yeah.
He's really like.
Far out.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
He's he went through the artist development program too, but like now we have this recording time, which unfortunately we didn't have when you guys were there. But we went to the bubble with Frenchie Smith, and Ray's like what does that do? You know what I mean? And then like Frenchie would tell him, he'd be like, oh, that's cool. How much does that cost? So you'd see him like making a list, and then like eventually started like really, I mean, he's been recording for a while, but he's really gotten real serious in recording other people and shit and recording strings, which isn't easy.
Yeah.
So shows, single releases, more dancing from you on stage, which
more
is awesome.
More songs.
Yeah.
JT has been so busy in the studio the past with a bunch of different clients, you know, a lot of this year, because like things opened up, it's like, you know,
yeah.
you gotta record, or shit that he gives a fuck about.
Yeah,
that
yeah.
has been recording, yeah. and there's just been this. It's. I'm excited to get into the studio with him and just do what we do.
Yeah,
because this
that starts next week.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh,
lots of different ideas.
It's right back, right when like when this single comes out, you're back in the studio making new stuff.
Always making new shit.
Yeah.
Good. That makes me so happy, man. You guys are an inspiration.
Shit.
Yeah.
Thanks, man.
Thanks, Johnny.
Shit. how long have you guys, how long have I known you, Kalu? Because I think you came on here originally just by yourself before you came on with JT.
Yeah.
Was that like early on in the thing, like first couple of years, like maybe yeah. 10 years ago or something?
Yeah. It's probably like 2009.
Continental Club days.
Oh, right? Yeah, definitely. And Momo's, weren't you around
yeah,
in
exactly.
the... Yeah,
exactly. So Continental Club days. Momo's days, like 2009.
Yeah. In the gallery.
Yeah, the gallery.
Yeah. Well, the single Garden of Eden, it'll be out by the time this comes out, but you can check out Downfall, Mirror, and Shadows, all gorgeous songs, The New Direction. Is there anything I'm missing? Kalu and the Electric Joint.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, thanks for doing the show.
Yeah.
People in Houston can see you guys on July 8th at the Continental Club. One of my favorite places to play. It's the same with the one here. I love that one in Houston.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I forgot to mention, we have a gorgeous video that was done by Barbara.
Oh, Barbara FG. Shit, I had it written down and I didn't even... Yes.
For Garden of Eden. You should check it out. I really had a great experience doing that.
She's awesome, isn't
she?
She's amazing. She's really, really great, man. I was a judge on the Austin Video Awards or Video mm-hmm. Festival, Austin Music Video Awards.
I think that's it.
Okay, but hers, like, I think that she won because like it was pretty.
Party City.
Yeah. Fucking great video. All right, well, people can check it out. Check out Kalu and the Electric Joint. Find these songs wherever you stream music. That video will be on your YouTube page.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Cool. All right. Thanks for doing the show, dudes.
Thanks for having us, man.
Yeah.
The kitchen sink. That's
Kalu James and JT Holt from Kalu and the Electric Joint. Their brand new single and video, Garden of Eden, available now wherever it is you stream and listen to music. Kalu and the electricjoint.com is where you want to go for that. Great singles are out, Downfall, Mirror, Shadows, and now Garden of Eden. You can see them in Houston on July 8th at the Continental Club. Great place to see music. I think they'll be with Sir Woman. That should be good. In Austin, July 22nd at the O4 Center. The O4 Center, acoustic with the great Ray Prim. Kalu and the electricjoint.com. Go there for all of your Kalu and the Electric Joint needs. Always great talking to those guys. I love them both very much. Gang, don't forget when you're out there checking out Kalu and the electricjoint.com that you can subscribe to this podcast wherever it is you find podcasts, be it Spotify, Apple Podcasts, TuneIn, Overcast, Stitcher, anywhere. New shows every Tuesday and every Friday. However, next week there will be three shows dropping next week, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Tune in, listen to Scott Collins, Jake Lloyd, and A Fragile Tomorrow, all next week on How Did I Get Here. All right, let's listen to the rest of this gorgeous song, Garden of Eden, by Kalu and the Electric Joint. Thanks again to JT and Kalu for coming by. I love those guys. Have a great weekend, whatever it is you're doing. Let's get down. Everyone's